This is Roger in Virginia with the Learning Curve, and today we have Dr. Richard Gordon telling it as it really is in the schools on the subject of teacher evaluation. This is a must-hear broadcast for you folk who really want to know what's going on in the schools and why your kids are not really getting what you want them to get by attending. So let's get over to Virginia interviewing Richard Gordon, Dr. Richard Gordon.
In your email, you state you've been in public education for over 40 years. Can you tell us what positions you've held and where you held them?
Okay, I've done just about everything. I started out in practice teaching as a junior high school teacher. I've been a high school teacher, high school assistant principal, high school principal, college professor, evaluator, and a writer of books.
Where were you a teacher and an administrator?
Okay, I've been a teacher in many inner city situations, including as assistant principal in Orange, New Jersey, which is as inner city as you can get. I was a teacher for 13 years in East Orange, New Jersey, which again is an on-camp right now. Teacher in Dallas, Texas, Shreveport, Louisiana. Also been a college professor at Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts, and for a year at the City University in Queens Branch.
You're also an author. What's the name of your book, and where can people buy it?
Okay, the name of the book is The Emperor Has No Clothes, The Crisis in American Inner City Schools. And it's available, the easiest way to get it is at from Amazon.com.
So we're going to have a discussion today about teacher evaluation. And we've been hearing a lot of talk in the news about revamping teacher evaluations. And that's because states must now redesign their teacher evaluations and tenure policies in order to be able to compete for the federal funds available through the Race to the Top program. As a matter of fact, Acting New Jersey State Education Commissioner Chris Cerf has proposed a teacher evaluation plan that is very similar to the one that was implemented in the Colorado schools, and New York is also going through its own tussle as it tries to redesign its evaluation and tenure policies in order to get some of those multi-million dollars that are available. The New Teacher Project issued a report called Teacher Evaluation 2.0, in which they cite five weaknesses with current teacher evaluation systems. They feel that they are too infrequent. In other words, they don't happen often enough. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
They also say that they tend to focus on superficial matters rather than student progress. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's 100%. Yeah.
They say also that there's not enough differentiation in the rating scale.
Well, you can use any kind of rating scale, but I'll get to that in a minute. That's really not important.
Okay. They also say that they are unhelpful in improving classroom practices and performance.
Oh, it's more than that. It's probably detrimental, which we'll get to also.
Okay. And the last thing that they cite is they carry no weight in decisions for tenure, pay, promotion, or professional development. So with all of those weaknesses, and also having been on both sides of the evaluation, having been a teacher and an administrator having to deliver an evaluation, what are your feelings on these findings?
Well, the findings are accurate, and I'm very, very cynical about this whole issue, and I have been. I think I have a unique capability here from experience, because to begin with, my doctorate's in administration and evaluation. I have been on both sides. I am extraordinarily cynical about the whole process. Okay, I think it's a waste of time, basically.
Do you mean you're cynical? Do you mean you're cynical about the whole teacher evaluation process, or the new ones that are being proposed?
Both, just the whole process.
Okay.
Is a bad joke. Okay, I just don't know where to start. Almost, but let me start with the supervisors, the ones doing the evaluation. In general, about half of them are incompetent and shouldn't be there and couldn't evaluate a fly.
Oh, so you mean the administrators who are actually delivering the evaluation are incompetent?
Yeah, I would say maybe. I'd put it maybe 35% of the administrators are competent enough to give you a valid in evaluation. Mm-hmm. Okay. For example, and I'll try to be brief. When you go for discrimination, in other words, you got to have this number of black principals, this number of females, and this number of Zulu principals, or whatever the race is that they're interested in, it diminishes the confidence. Okay, and so let's take Texas for example. How do you become an administrator? Is it because you're smart and you're qualified and you're educated? No.
You're very outspoken there, Richard.
So in other words, what you're saying is just like colleges, if they get federal dollars, they have to have a certain diversification of their students. You're saying that the workforce also has to be diversified in that way too?
Oh, absolutely. But it's just disastrous because if you're in a black area, you got to have black principals. If you're in a Spanish area, you got to have Hispanic principals. Now, that's lovely, except you might not get very competent ones. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Okay? And usually in Texas, especially Oklahoma, who becomes a principal? Well, the coaches. So you start off as a big athlete in high school, and then you get to college, probably milking being an athlete so that the professors give you good grades. You go back to the high school and you coach. Eventually, you wind up as the principal there.
Right. Basically, you're putting. Basically, they put in their time and work their way up the ladder, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's sickening. And so you have. I would say in Texas, you probably have 80% of the high school principals were coaches. Okay, and it tells you what you're going to get. Just people who just do the same thing. Lack of innovation. Usually not very good students, not very good principals, but they keep the ball rolling, and the team does well, and don't rock the boat. And these are the people who are going to do the evaluation. They couldn't evaluate a toothbrush, okay?
What I've read in the papers here in New York is the notion that some of the evaluations are based on student input, not what grades the students attain, but actually the students giving, grading of the teachers.
Oh, that would work really well. Yeah, be nice to them and pass them and let them get off and write a little report they'll copy from the internet and pass them, and you'll be real popular.
Yeah.
Okay? So in other words, getting back to answer the question. So you got 75% of your administrators are incompetent. So many issues with this from personal experience, and I almost don't know which one to choose. There's a lady who is the principal right now, and she's still working as a principal in Dallas, Texas, okay, one of the inner city schools, who is grossly incompetent. I have a copy of her college transcript, by the way, when I was suing her, so I've got it, and it's just all terrible grades, failed math, failed this, failed the other thing. And she's been the principal there for 10 years. You say, well, how could she get away with that? Because her friend is the boss, all right? And she's the right color, okay? And so any horror that she has done, and she has done many, she could get away with it. She doesn't care about numbers, about evaluation. If she likes you, she gives you good evaluation. If you're the wrong race or she doesn't like you for any reason, she happens, by the way, to be a gay also. And if you're a young girl, you got a better chance, And this type of person is the principal. Now, then you expect some kind of a scientifically based evaluation. You're crazy. It's not going to happen, okay? So this is what we're dealing with, okay? You don't necessarily get what's logical. You don't get what's fair very frequently. You don't get what's competent.
Right.
Okay, so now, again, there may be 40% of the principals. So we'll give you a competent evaluation, and then they should be praised. I'm working with a lady now and who's totally competent and saying the right things. But I have worked with both kinds. Now, if you can go back and give me those reasons, I can get into those a little bit more, what's wrong, and et cetera.
Okay. I just have one question. I just read an article 2 days ago about Eli Broad's, his charity, I think it is, or whatever, has some kind of administrator's school where they will put administrators or people who are not administrators, but they'll put them through administrator school And so they can be people, they're people from the Army, they are people, or should say from the military, they're people from corporations who have decided they've had enough of being in corporate world, and there are also other people who are educators. And the whole idea is they actually put them through this intense class for about a year, maybe a year and a half, and they come out supposedly that they are supposed to be very competent administrators, where they really are going to run the school almost as a corporation. What do you think about that?
I don't like that either, because that's nice, except you're not running a corporation to make money selling toothbrushes. You're trying to teach people something, and that's where the huge flaw is, that they haven't taught, and they don't know what your objects are, your objectives, and the educational process, how kids learn. So I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, you mentioned, Richard, the particular administrator down there in Texas who actually failed subjects that she used to have to teach, and she ended up getting booted up the system to actually be given power in a school as an administrator. And was she a headmistress, is she, or what?
Yeah, she said this particular one is the principal of a high school,
and she actually failed the subjects that's supposed to be being taught. It's crazy.
Totally ignorant and evil. I mean, she's just evil. I could go on for 2 hours just talking about her.
Yeah.
And this is one of those that would be given the evaluation.
It's no wonder parents want to keep their kids out of those kinds of environments and teach them at home. All power to them.
Most of them don't know how to deal with data.
Yeah.
They don't know much dealing with data and test scores and things like that. You got another problem, and it's especially you see it in Texas, and it applies to other districts where you have this standardized testing. And that is, everything in Texas and these other places is based on how these kids do on the state test. Everything. I mean everything. Passing, whether the principal gets fired or not, whether the teachers are a suspect or not. And the only thing is, now all we do is we teach towards the test.
Mm-hmm.
The whole year you teach towards the test. We know what's going to be on there. Now we teach the stuff over and over again. We teach test skills, you know, how to beat the system, you know, when to just, if you're not sure, say C, always put something down, eliminate it. You know, in other words, that has nothing to do with whether the kids really learned anything. It's just how to beat the system.
Yes.
And this is the way that they're going to, therefore, judge teachers. Well, did they beat the system or not? So, of course, what you turn out the kids who are really not educated in any way except how to take one particular test. You have also, I mean, there's so many flaws in this thing. You want to evaluate teachers. You look at the test score is about how they've achieved. Now, some of it makes sense to do that. But a lot of times if you're in an inner city, the kids come and go. You know, you got this great turnover. You got kids coming and going, and how do you count those? There's no pre-test score and post-test score.
Well, actually, you bring up a good point, and that actually is a good segue into my next question, which is that the new teacher project report proposed 6 standards by which teacher evaluation systems should be built. And the first one is, they said that it must be done annually, no less frequently than annually.
Not very much. Yeah, you should be dealing with competent supervisors. Frequently,
true.
Even annually is nothing.
True. That's true. I mean, the given is that you have a competent administrator doing it. But I think with these particular points in mind, they might be able to bypass some of the incompetence that's built into the system when the administrator is the one who's doing the evaluating. Because they also say, yes, linked to student learning and progress. So, yes, it is going to be linked to testing in some way. But it also says a number of different sources should be used to measure the teacher effectiveness. Now, they didn't specify what the sources are, but...
That part of it is good, but then we get the people to agree on the other sources. All right, one, you got the progress on an achievement test, norm reference test. That's okay. Okay, and then you got the state test, which I told you what the problem is, but, I mean, some of it makes sense. Okay. All right, but even so, now I'll give you, there's so many holes in this thing, they almost don't know where to begin. I use Texas because I'm most familiar here. Take two towns, okay? We'll take Highland Park. All right. Now, if anybody knows anything about Highland Park, that's where the rich and the rich and the rich and the rich live.
Right.
Okay? And you could get the worst teacher on earth, and those kids are going to shine. Why are they going to shine? Because of their family and all the experiences they've had and the genetic factors, et cetera, et cetera, and the lack of discipline problems, et cetera. Well, we got to just praise this teacher. Look at this teacher. She could be the worst teacher on earth, and the scores are still great. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have exactly the opposite. We go to one of the inner cities, which I won't mention, and where the kids, they have one mother, and a mother who's 15, and no father, and drunks all over, and drugs, and everything. And you know what the scores are going to be like to begin with. But yet, you might have a teacher who's really trying and somewhat effective and got some of these kids' attention and learned something. But if you compare the data, you'll say, well, no comparison. Look at it hard apart. But that's not fair where we started.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, that isn't fair because wouldn't you be comparing the child at the beginning of the year to the child at the end of the year? I mean, child to child or school to, you know, the school.
Yeah.
As they say, year over year, like they compare companies, same store earnings, you know, that's a fair, more fair comparison.
Sure. So you can start to see how complicated it is. And these are some of mostly the administrators, especially in the inner city, they are so inept. And when you say, well, what do I evaluate on, as your report said, stuff that has nothing to do with anything. Remember, one of the favorites is you didn't put the objective on the board. And I had this, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you think I'm making this up, but I'm not.
Somebody wrote you up because you didn't put an objective on the board?
Yeah, well, I had this principal who said to me, you didn't put the objective on the board. I said, sir, I'm teaching six subjects in here. So let's say three objectives for each class, and that's 18. You want me to put 18 different objectives on the board? Does that make any sense? He forgot that I was teaching six subjects in the one class at the same time.
Wow.
But he still wrote it down. He wrote it down. He didn't put his objective on it. Because this is one objective. And besides which, that's just an example. Kids don't look at the board anyway. They don't care what your objective is. They know what their objective is, and that's to get through the day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just give you that as an example, but how these administrators are. Yeah, my son is next to me here, and he's saying it's so true. So.
So another question for you is the differentiated scale. They're saying that right now there are only two levels on the scale, is either satisfactory or dissatisfactory. They want to see more, at least four or five levels, so you can have some more distinction when you're rating a teacher.
Oh, sure. No, absolutely. We all agree on that. I mean, you've got to have some kind of differentiated evaluation, such as, look, his objective criteria are excellent. He's gone from this to that. But wait a minute, his learning rate, in other words, these kids were learning at only 0.6 grade level per year, and now they learned the 0.8, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
He can commend it. Now, if you're I go to Highland Park, well, they were learning at 1.3 per year, and this teacher only got them 0.9, well, she should be really scolded. See, even though they gained 0.9, the learning rate was 1.3, and so she really didn't do well. So you really have to get into it. It gets to be very subtle, and it's a different criteria now. So an easy one to do is a language teacher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can rate her as a teacher progress orally, grammatically, vocabulary, where they were, where they are now. But there again, now you got to look at the socioeconomic class, okay? If you're doing this out in Hinky Dink, Texas, you're not going to expect that one, okay, as opposed to, again, the Highland Park, which you're going to get a higher achievement. Now, if you don't believe this, that this is true, you're living in a dream world. I mean, it's the way it is, okay? Learning is contingent on socioeconomic class and other factors, but socioeconomic class has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give up. We keep trying. We keep teaching, and we don't lower our expectations, but you've got to understand, you know, where everybody's coming.
So they also say that these, the evaluation must be linked to decisions about tenure, pay, promotion, and dismissal. And Well, I was going to say, given your feelings about administrators, what do you think about this?
They should be. In theory, that's absolutely correct. In theory, if you have wise administrators, educated, not racially oriented, and you go through all of these steps that I just, some of them, how complicated, right? Learning rate, depending on previous learning, socioeconomic level, other factors, okay? You go into the inner city, you're going to get some disastrous rates of learning. Now, if you would just blame the teacher on that, I think not. I'm really tired of the teacher getting blamed for the fact that the inner city kids do so poorly. They don't do so poorly because of the teachers. They don't. It has very little, actually, to do with the teachers.
Well, I was going to say, not only for the having to do with the teachers.
Oh, yeah.
I still think the teachers are a factor.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and they will do that. See, they forget that the kid has a 15-year-old mother living on, a few thousand dollars of welfare a month with all her boyfriends and the drugs and the alcohol and her peer group that doesn't want to learn anything. And then you're going to blame the teacher for that? Oh, gee, they're not learning very much.
No, I still think the teacher is still a factor, but yes, home life and what they see around them, the examples that are being set for them by their quote-unquote adults, I just absolutely agree. It does make a difference.
Starting to see how complicated the thing is. It's anything but simplistic. And this business, I just don't like the fact that the people, they love to blame the teachers. Most of the time, they have something to do with it, yes, but far less than you think.
Well, I think part of the teacher bashing that's going on is that we have teachers that just simply, they get their tenure and they sit back and they just don't care. And then we've got the unions that just continue to defend this as well.
That is a problem, and I tend to agree with that, and there's some that do it. But I'm not as harsh on the teachers in this case, given the horrible working conditions that they have. Place, but yes, you can't protect people with doing nothing either. Okay.
Yes.
Somebody's got to stand up for the teachers because they get all this abuse. So on the one hand, yes, but to what degree do we protect somebody who's obviously doing nothing? I understand that. There again, it's a complicated issue. You read about it, and suddenly it's how simple it is. What we have to do, this and the other thing, and it never turns out that way.
Well, the one interesting thing that you pointed out, that you opened my eyes to, because this is something that goes on in the corporate world all the time, is everybody gets evaluated every year, and if you don't have a good evaluation, you better straighten up, or guess what? You're out the door. So
yeah.
I'm surprised that this is not the kind of thing that has not been in with teachers all along, but you made a very important observation there, and that is you got to have competent administrators, too. And they have to be setting a standard for the teachers as well.
Yeah, and how are you going to have these competent administrators if you just use the coaches as your principals and where race is everything? And the fact, let's say if you're black and you're in an inner city, it's so easy to get the job, and it's almost impossible to get fired, and they know that. Therefore, you have some of the most remarkably incompetent administrators, white and black. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's simply amazing. And again, time doesn't permit it, but I just one story after another, black and white. But they've all been coaches, or they're the right color. And you want these people to give these key evaluations of which they have no idea about anything to do with data. And most of the time, they don't know any subject either. You've got them evaluating English teachers, and they barely speak English. Ain't nobody be asking me, and that's why they speak English. You want them to evaluate an English teacher, or they want to evaluate a math teacher. They don't even know that math. Evaluate language teachers. They don't speak any languages. Does that make any sense?
No, none whatsoever.
Not in my logical mind.
So then maybe the evaluations need to be taken out of the hands of the administrators. If that's so, who would you suggest?
That's the hardest thing I have all day. Take it out of their hands and at least give it to somebody who knows the darn subject.
So in other words, do you think there should be peer evaluation?
Fear is dangerous, because if you know them, then it's something else. But somebody, you get somebody who doesn't know the people, but who's competent. Yeah, you get plenty of competent people who were trained in education, don't know the teacher in mind, but knows how to teach, knows the subject matter. And, that makes more sense than having ignorant people.
Well, what about if we were to get those people who educate the teachers? In other words, I don't want to say the trainers, maybe professional development people or people in the colleges to be the evaluators.
Somewhat. That makes more sense. But the college professors get me nervous, too, because they're in liberal la-la land, and they are so interested in the political correctness and every child can learn and all kinds of stuff in the cloud somewhere, that they get me nervous too. And now you start, everything has to do with race. They're not going to let everybody be judged equally. Oh, no. If you're black, then there's another standard, and the standard is a lot lower.
Kind of like grading on a curve, huh?
Yeah. And anybody who doesn't believe that, I mean, you haven't been in the real world.
I have another question for you along these lines, and that is I subscribe to Education Week, so I get their emails, and had a very interesting one come across the other day. I think it was about a week ago, and it was an article from the Harvard Graduate School of Education, which, okay, all right, they're out in La La Land, I know, but they proposed something very interesting, and I just have some background to put into this before I ask you the question. It says, how to improve teacher quality, treat teachers as individuals. The author throws out the question, we've got a slew of square pegs that don't seem to fit cleanly into their round holes. Perhaps rather than search madly for round pegs, we might start asking how to alter the shape of the holes. We might tackle the teacher quality problem not by finding more superheroes able to master a hugely demanding job, or by placing boundless faith in training and professional development, but by perhaps rethinking the job. This entails unbundling the teaching job so that each teacher isn't asked to excel at so many different things. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. Anything that comes from Harvard, I am automatically very pessimistic about. I'm the black sheep of that family. I went there and got my master's degree there. And if I want to get sick, I read the Harvard Educational Journal there that comes out, one of them that comes out there, because most of the stuff is so laughably stupid that boggles the mind. I mean, everything is political correctness.
True.
And that business, for example, they hire. Oh, the dean there is always very happy. She hires this many Africans and this many Chinese and that many females. And I'd like to go up to her and say, how about if you just get the best person? What do we call? We care what sex or color the skin is.
Right.
Anyway, that's the way they are there. And anyway, the brilliant statement, that sounds good, but how are we going to change the way the schools are? They operate on their own system, and which I've already described, and it's just kind of disconcerting, you know, and they're not going to change. They're very resistant to change in the schools.
So in other words, you don't think that right now, from what I understand, teachers are teaching classes, plus looking after the buses loading and unloading, plus looking after the cafeteria, plus coaching or running a club, and I think what they're saying is maybe we need to stop doing that and have them just teach.
Oh, sure, that's a wonderful idea, but it never happens. And then there's always the pressure to pass all these lovely children. Okay, if she just told the truth, then she'd be failing about half the class. Well, you can't do that. I mean, so what they make you do is they keep lowering the standards and put pressure on the teachers, especially beginning teachers, to pass kids. The kids get the idea real soon. They don't have to do anything. just show up every now and then, do something every now and then, and then they expect to be passed, if not with an A. And the administrators don't help. They just get the pressure from the parents or the superintendent. Oh, it looks bad. We're failing all these people. Well, the fact that they don't know anything is another case. All of which, I know I sound so cynical, but I've been doing this for 40-some-odd years.
Yep.
And I'm as cynical as any man on earth, I tell you.
That's why we wanted to talk to you, is we knew you've been in the trenches doing it, both as an administrator and as a teacher. We knew we would get the straight poop, so to speak.
40 years, and listening to some egghead in the clouds, politically correct fool from Harvard say something. I mean, it is laughable, some of the stuff that comes out there. I mean, it's just that you actually say this,
Well, Richard, that sounds like a good spot to end off for this show, because you really called it as it is, without pulling any punches, and that's the sort of honesty that folks need so they can make informed decisions and choices, and put pressure on the politicos to get it right, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what's needed, because this whole educational system is getting too much of a free ride and producing a bum product, which
you
is
said
tragic.
It very well, Roger. The product is bum, and whether you believe me or not, or you have all your questions or your ridicule, look at the product.
Yeah.
Look at high school kids that have come out, and you compare them with people in other countries, it's getting worse and worse, and it's sickening.
Well, the statistics from the Education Department, the U.S. Education Department itself shows that. The most recent U.S. Department of Education Adult Literacy Survey showed only 31% of college graduates could pass their competence standard, and it has declined from the 1999 survey. So, the product is getting worse by the year. So, it was very wonderful to hear from you again, and we're going to get together again in the future to sing another song to try and wake some people up. And we thank you for being with us today, Richard, eh?
It's been my pleasure, as always. Anytime, Roger. And
okay.
Thank you.
We've run out of time for the day and night, so we'll be back in touch.
This has been Roger and Virginia with The Learning Curve, which is a program that helps parents help their kids learn at school, and helps adults succeed in life by knowing how to learn. Next week, we have a wonderful show with the folks from 3DLearner.com. This is the subject to do with three-dimensional people who actually learn three-dimensionally. Sometimes they're mislabeled as dyslexic and called disabled, but in actuality, dyslexia is not fully understood and may well be the mark of a higher level of ability. So next week, join us for the 3D learner and how to win at life as a 3D learner.